Well, we have some visitors with us today. You are our honored guest, and we're glad that you're here. We hope that you profit from being here today. We hope you profit from the sermon. As you can see on the screen there, the lesson has to do with judgment. Before we get into the lesson, I'd like to tell a little joke that goes along with the lesson. We try to make them to go along with the lesson. A minister waited in line to have his car filled with gas just before a long holiday vacation, holiday weekend that is. And this was at the time when people actually pumped the gas for you. The attendant worked quickly. But there were many cars ahead of him in front of the service station. And finally, the attendant motioned this preacher forward to a vacant pump, and he said, "Preacher, sorry about the delay. It seems as if everyone wants or waits until the last minute to get ready for a long trip." And the minister chuckled, "I know what you mean. It's the same in my business." Well, the lesson this morning is about judgment. And isn't it true that we put off getting ready for it? We do not like to think about judgment, particularly on ourselves, or our country for that matter. But as mature individuals in an unpredictable and dangerous world, we need to face reality. Things are not always going to be peaches and cream. I'm no prophet. But I expect, based on what we have seen already, that many of us here today will see some major changes in this country. Fundamental changes in our laws and the way we live, our lifestyle. And if I remember correctly, I believe our president promised to fundamentally change America. But many question or want to know, is God behind it all? Is God behind it all? Let's look at the word or the meaning of divine providence here in the beginning of our lesson. Divine providence is defined as, and this is defined by the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, that preservation, care, and government which God exercises over all things he has created in order that he may accomplish the ends for which they were created. The founding fathers of this country were believers in God. And the Constitution that they wrote was based upon divine principles. Even our coins had "In God We Trust" printed on all of them. Now the U.S. has been blessed with prosperity and power that has enabled many to have a prolific lifestyle and enabled the country to help with problems all over the world. In World War II, battles against atrocious enemies were won when the enemy had great military advantage. I've heard some older men say God had to have had a hand in it for us to have won many of those battles. We learn from the Old Testament that God is merciful, slow to anger, and quick to forgive. But for him to do that, there must be repentance. And throughout Old Testament history, we see examples where God punished nations, particularly Israel, to bring about their repentance. In 2001, this country was attacked, much like the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941. In this attack, in New York City on the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center, the two largest buildings in the world, 3,000 people died. And much damage was done, not just to the property, but to the economic system of the country and the world. Was this a wake-up call? It has been 10 years since that happened, but we have not become a more righteous nation, but to the contrary. Is there reason to believe that God is unhappy with the U.S.? We can list a few things, the accumulation of which spells disaster for us. The practice of infanticide or abortion. Honoring homosexuality as an acceptable alternative lifestyle. Respecting false religions as equal with Christianity. Exalting the Big Bang Theory as creator rather than God. And expelling the Bible and God from our public schools and our public institutions. We had a wake-up call 9/11/2001. But abortion clinics keep doing what they're doing, what they were doing. Fanatical, extreme gay rights legislations continue to be adopted. Atheist evolutionary concepts continue to brainwash our children in our public schools. Activist judges continue to expel God and His commandments from our society. And false religions continue to be elevated to equal, if not superior, status with Christianity. In fact, the same false religion that was responsible for attacking America is being revered as a good and peaceful religion that worships the same God as Christianity. George Bush didn't tell the truth about Islam. And perhaps that was one of his biggest mistakes. He led the people to believe that it was a peaceful religion, that it was just a few fanatics that didn't understand the Quran that was causing the problem. But it's the teachings in the Quran that's causing the problem. Our current president refers to the Quran as the Holy Quran. And I've heard him say it many times in one speech, yet I have never heard him refer to the Bible as the Holy Bible. And so the American people may be in trouble because our leaders who we elected are not only not giving God and His Word proper respect, but are making God jealous by exalting false religion. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 15 says, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." So we see that He is jealous, and when we do this sort of thing, we are in danger of God's retribution. Two of America's abominations, abortion and homosexuality, are the exact antithesis of Jesus and of what He stands for. Jesus is all about life. Jesus stated that He is the life, and He said that He came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. He also tells us to choose life so that our descendants may live, Deuteronomy 30:19. Abortion, however, is all about death. Abortion ends the life of a child. What a pregnant woman has in her womb is not a fetus. It's a child or baby. When Jesus' mother, Mary, visited Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, Elizabeth said that her babe or baby leaped in her womb at the sound of Mary's voice. It wasn't a fetus in Elizabeth's womb. It was a baby. And when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, the Bible states that she was with child, not with fetus, Luke 2, verse 4 through 7. Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 and 23, we see there that God clearly shows that a child who has not yet been born is a life just as much as a grown man who causes the death of that child by hurting the mother. The passage declares that the life of that man will be taken as just punishment for the life of that child which was still in the womb. Scripture says life for life. Homosexuality is also all about death. A person who participates in homosexual relations is more than 1,000 times more likely to contract the deadly disease of AIDS than a person who participates in heterosexual relations. If homosexuality was universally and exclusively practiced by all people, it would exterminate the human race in less than one century. The Bible speaks of two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, that practiced this evil. These cities actually existed, and the ruins are right where the Bible says they were. I've seen part of them. The record tells us God destroyed all the people except Lot's family that exited the cities. America has two major national abominations. Protecting and exalting abortion as being a constitutionally protected freedom of choice, and protecting and exalting the practice of homosexuality as an acceptable and moral lifestyle equivalent to heterosexuality. On May 31st, 2011, I was shocked to see what came across my computer where I work for the government. The President of the United States sent out an email to government employees. Its heading read as follows: Presidential Proclamation, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. So our country made a month to be set aside as Pride Month for the lesbians, the gays, the bisexual, and so forth. Thus, homosexuality is exalted as something to be proud of. Pride Month. Now, the Bible puts liars and the proud into the same category as unnatural affection, homosexuality. But we do not see groups of proud people and liars holding deceit and dishonesty rallies or pride and arrogance marches, nor do we hear them proclaiming that it's God's will for them to be proud and deceitful. These two national abominations, homosexuality and the legal and state-supported abortion, coupled with the others previously mentioned, surely have resulted in God seeking to turn us around by allowing or causing catastrophes to come upon us one after another. Let's take a moment to just note some of the disasters that have taken place recently. First of all, look what happened to Japan. Not a country that God remembers, or that remembers God. They had unprecedented earthquakes, followed by unprecedented tsunamis that just devastated the country. Nuclear facilities were destroyed, and some of them continue to spew radiation to the atmosphere, affecting the health of people possibly as far away as the United States. In the United States, in the last few years, we have seen terrible floods, horrific winter storms, huge tornadoes that have done massive damage and taken many lives, hurricanes, droughts, and we could add to the list. We're seeing our economy destroyed by our lawmakers who don't seem to understand what a budget is. And when our economy is destroyed, we are then vulnerable to our enemies, both within the country and without. And you better believe we have them, in the country and outside the country. People that want to destroy us.
Amen.
One way or another, unless people in the United States wake up and turn to God, we're going to continue to see hard times, and perhaps the likes of which we have never seen. Not even the Great Depression. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Regarding this passage, Clark, commentator, said about all the nations that forget God, they will not live in his fear. There are both nations and individuals who, though they know God, forget him. That is, are unmindful of him, do not acknowledge him in their designs, ways, and works. These are all to be thrust down into hell. Reader, art thou mindful of thy Maker and of him who died for thee? Scripture declares that we will reap what we sow, and that if we sow the wind, we will reap the whirlwind. God has judged and punished other nations in the past for behavior similar to ours. Therefore, we can expect that he will also judge us. In the past 37 years, this country that we live in has murdered approximately 50 million babies via abortion. That equals more innocent lives slaughtered than Hitler and Stalin combined. One out of every four babies in America is aborted, killed. Every single year in America, we kill more babies than the number of American soldiers killed in every war that we've ever fought added together. And there were about 10 of them. If it wasn't for the fact that many have realized that they can live high on the hog off the government by having children, the number would be much higher. Israel was God's chosen people. He dealt with them in ways that he never did nor ever will with other nations. But he chastises individuals and nations in his effort to bring them to realize who created them and upon whom they need to be dependent. What about America? Like Israel, God blessed our nation in the beginning and protected us from our enemies because our founding fathers had founded it on Christian principles. There was only one God worshipped in America for many years, the God of Christianity. However, America has almost forgotten God, and our leader seems to be singing the praises of Islam. We have men and women running for office to sit in Washington and make laws who run on the basis of what they call pro-choice, which is to say, I support the right of the people to kill unwanted, unborn children. And the country is filled with so-called Christians who vote to put these people into office, sad to say, mainly because the opposition is not of the party their parents supported. It's time for people to wake up and be responsible. Our schools and colleges are filled with teachers who despise the idea of a creator and mock those of us who do, and they're bent on promoting their humanistic beliefs. The prophet Isaiah said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Unfortunately, that is the sad state that we have come to in America. The ones who oppose the radical gay agenda because of the Bible's clear teaching on homosexuality, as well as historical knowledge of knowing what it does to a nation, are called all sorts of offensive names, while the ones involved in the lewd and unbiblical behavior are exalted as practicing an honorable alternative lifestyle. Anti-abortion demonstrators outside abortion clinics are hauled away as criminals if they get too close to the doorway, while the doctors and nurses killing the babies inside the clinic are considered to be fine, upstanding, law-abiding citizens. The prophet continues, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." If America continues its abomination honoring child aborting, false religion exalting, Christianity rejecting ways, then America is racing toward catastrophic judgments from God and the humbling that will eventually come. My thinking is that change for the good will be slow and will have to come at a very high cost. It seems that many people are set against talking religion and politics, two of the most important things that one could talk about. Furthermore, they are distracted by things that are enjoyable to watch and enjoyable to do, and substances that give a high. And another problem is that many who profess Christianity are merely churchgoers who think little of their responsibilities as a citizen of the country they live in and as a Christian. No matter how good or how bad things become, remember this. No matter how good you have it or how bad things get, Jesus is Lord. You may have come to realize that. Or you may think you don't need Him now. But you may soon realize that you do. When that time comes, He will be waiting. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He says to those who hear His word to come to Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in your heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A lot of mix-up about how to come unto the Lord. There are a number of people in the world that are teaching that all you got to do is accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You can do it right where you sit. But if you want to see what the Bible says and do what the Bible says, you go to Acts chapter 2, where the first gospel sermon was preached after the resurrection. There's a record of the church being established. People heard the gospel preached and they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter, verse 37, 38, along in there in chapter 2. He told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That hasn't changed. Man may not understand it. Man may feel like it's foolish to do this, to be baptized, because there's no power in water. We all know that. But we must swallow our pride and do what God says if we want to be saved. And we're not going to be saved our own way. We're not going to be saved by following the teachings of men. We can only be saved by following the Word of God. As we sing the invitation song, pay particular attention to the passage on the board or on the screen there where Jesus invites you to come. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?